Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Thanks for being a part of it and allowing it to be a part of you. Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson, in on Shanae and Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Don't forget to tune into the Shanae podcast, hosted by our own very own Shanae Ogwimike and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate the continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with G. In 10 minutes, the Chicago Bears better do the right thing or people will not be happy with that football team that comes your way in about 10 minutes. And Amber, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys trying to do the right thing, taking it easy when it comes to his shoulder injury. He has not thrown for 2 weeks until the last couple of days. People are going to be concerned when you give that kind of money. He earned that money even before he got injured for the Dallas Cowboys last year. When you get that kind of money and a desperate organization, Amber, anything that's going to be an injury is going to give the heebie-jeebies to a guy like Jerry Jones, who has not won a championship with this organization since 1996.
Desperate organization. I think that you nailed it there. I mean, obviously they finished last season a disappointing 6-10 because of that Dak injury. And so you feel like, all right, now we paid him. We believe in him. He's coming back. He's got 160 million reasons to be good this season. And bam, he tweaks his lat. So I think that you absolutely are concerned if you're a Cowboys fan, just because the Cowboys, we talked about it earlier in the show, Freddie, where the Cowboys would have reasons here also to downplay the injuries to Dak, because attentions are running so high surrounding that organization. It is put up or shut up time with that Dallas Cowboys team, where people feel like this is the season where they can really make some noise. And now, bam, they're dealing with this injury to Dak again, a new injury. Is it a big deal? Is it just a muscle strain? He was out there throwing, like you mentioned, he threw something like 30 passes to Amari Cooper's, also, of course, coming off of an injury himself, but they were little dinks and dunks. He didn't quite look exactly like himself throwing, you know, like we're used to seeing Dak be able to air it out. That wasn't right. What was happening here, getting back into the mix. A lot is a huge problem for a quarterback. So I can understand the tensions riding very high surrounding that organization and fans being nervous.
Jerry Jones is extremely nervous. I'm sure he is thrilled, even if Dak Prescott did not have any zip on the football, to actually see him back out at practice, having about 25 to 30 throws, as you mentioned. And Keyshawn Johnson, or KJZ, in the morning on ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 Monday through Friday, I thought it was very interesting what he had to say, that the reason that they're concerned and giving all that money to Dak Prescott is because the Cowboys have this kind of vision in their head.
It's a lot of expectations and hype coming into this year. And the hype starts with the quarterback, because you gave him a whole bunch of money. You don't give a guy a whole bunch of money unless you believe that he can lead you to the Lombardi Trophy. And when you do that, that says, okay, we got a really good team. We're looking for a championship. Think about it. Mm-hmm. They just gave Josh Allen $150 million of guaranteed money, $250 million overall. What does that mean? That means the Buffalo Bills are thinking about a damn championship.
Yeah, they expect to win.
Kansas City Chiefs paid Patrick Mahomes. They were thinking about another championship.
And the last thing that Jerry Jones wanted to hear from another former Dallas Cowboys quarterback over the Hall of Fame weekend, when Troy Aikman said, and I quote, when it comes to his injury, the Cowboys are downplaying it, but I think when your franchise quarterback is missing the amount of time he's missing, I tend to think it's probably a little bit more significant than what they have led on, end quote. When Troy Aikman put that out there, Amber, unsolicited, unprovoked, that told me the level of concern that the Cowboys are hoping is not going to blow up in their face. And maybe, just maybe, this could be a good thing for Dak to slow down. Because watching Hard Knocks last night, there are people that get after their therapy, Amber. He was a champ to the 100th power, trying to make sure that everything was going to be right. Maybe having him slow down may turn out to be the best thing, not just for Dak Prescott, but for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he was vying to get back on that field before this injury, like you mentioned, and you definitely saw that on Hard Knocks. I mean, he was saying, I'm not coming out of this, you know, bull bleep, 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 bleep. I sat last year long enough. He's tired of sitting, Freddie, and I would imagine now going to be even more tired of sitting since he's dealing with whatever is happening here to this tweaked lat. It could be the Cowboys are just being really cautious with him. I mean, they have all the reasons in the world, 160 million of them at least, to be really cautious with their star quarterback. And they have more than that, because their entire season rides on the health of Dak Prescott. We know that. We saw it last season. Another thing, too, is the age here of Jerry Jones. I know that we always talk about it, and I know it seems like Jerry Jones is going to be with us forever, but he's 78 years old, you know, and we're all working under windows here of time where this is Dak's time now to win. He just got paid. Let's go out. Let's do it. Let's perform under that contract. And this is Jerry Jones' time as an owner where, hey, you know, I'm not trying to wait another 20 years here to win this ring. Let's do it now. And that's the expectation on this team. And then, of course, they're the Dallas Cowboys. So there's always that expectation because they're America's team and they're the team that we talk about. They're the team that moves the needles. It's why they're on Hard Knocks this season during, as you mentioned earlier in the show, a rough couple years for Hard Knocks. So those expectations are there and they're there for good reason and they're going to be there all season.
Great stuff by Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman in on Chanae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. I'm glad you mentioned Jerry Jones because we know that Jerry Jones is always going to be about Jerry. He's not Jerry, he's Jerry. J-E-R-R-U-H. They don't say Jerry down there when it comes to him. When you're that desperate of a star that he is in the National Football League, and he's a star, no matter how you like or don't like Jerry Jones, he does have that effect on people one way or the other. He knows that he's still the biggest star when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. When you pay that kind of money for a Dak Prescott, and you also have a team that many people believe that if the defense is just a little bit better, that offense is going to be really special, and you have not even seen the championship ring not on your finger since 1996, you don't want anybody. I don't care if it's Troy Aikman. I don't care if it's Amber Wilson. I don't care if it's Freddie Coleman. I don't care if it's anybody trying to just rain on your parade when you know in the NFL more than ever before, it's a second-by-second league, Amber. It's not year-to-year. It's not game-to-game. It's second-by-second. And if any kind of seconds are not there for Dak Prescott to be as right as you want him to be when week one rolls around in a 17-game season – they may be downplaying it, but I guarantee you, and this is just me spitballing, Amber, that there's a little bit of skittishness from Jerry Jones thinking, man, I hope this is not going to be a problem with a guy that's going to get $40 million of my money starting this year to be the quarterback and championship quarterback we hope for this football team.
Well, and whenever a player gets injured and then gets injured again and injured again, even if they seem like unrelated injuries, you're always worried that they're all sort of related because everything in the body is connected. And so you can be in a situation where a player becomes oft injured. It would feel to me, though, like these, and I am no doctor and I am no scientist, but I'm just going to go ahead and guess that it feels like a lat tweak. And a right ankle injury is not necessarily the same thing coming off that surgery. So this could just be a freak thing where, hey, he just tweaked it. They'll bring in the guys from baseball. They'll have some advice. He'll be ready to go week one. This is all much ado about nothing. We keep talking about that contract that they handed Dak. I do think in a matter of years here, not too far from now, we're going to be talking about these contracts at $160 million like it's no big deal because that's just where the quarterback's market is right now. We just saw what happened with Josh Allen. It's where the quarterback is the importance of that position. But of course, it matters in a salary cap sport. So of course, it matters to Jerry Jones how much money he had to cough up to a Dak Prescott and needing Dak Prescott to really live up to that contract.
To me, Dak is going to be fine. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm worried about my defense because you got a lot of young guys in that defense. Although plenty of Vegas books, Amber, they still have the Cowboys winning the NFC least. And I'm thinking, man, that Washington football team with a bunch of filthy McNasties over there on defense, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is more Fitzmagic and not Fitztragic, now you got something there with that team and that defense. I get it because of the Cowboys. But right now, if I had to put my money on anybody in that division, I'm putting it on Washington because, to me, they have less questions than anybody else in the NFC least. If anything, the Dallas Cowboys have the most questions, but yet Vegas must know something, Amber, because plenty of Vegas books, they have the Cowboys winning the NFC least when it's all said and done.
Vegas always knows a little something, something. I do think that's a good Washington team, like you mentioned. I think it's funny, though, when you said a little bit more Fitzmagic than Fitztragic, because that's all you can hope for is a little bit more Fitzmagic than Fitztragic, because you're going to get Fitztragic. You're going to get both. I just saw it down here in Miami. I was a witness. Okay, you're going to get both. You are going to get both of them. So, but I do agree with you that that's a very good, complete team, other than maybe who's under center.
No doubt about that. Amber Wilson, hit her on Twitter, Amber W, 790. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter, Coleman ESPN, part of Golick and Chanae Golick Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to talk about another quarterback in which, as far as I'm concerned, he better be the starter if he's outplaying the guy that they want to be the starter when it comes to this team in the NFC North. Keep it here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Nan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 8, and ESPN Plus. Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson in for Nan Golic Jr. on this Wednesday. As a matter of fact, speaking of being in, the Russell Westbrook saga is going to continue in Los Angeles. But why won't people leave him alone when it comes to this question? We'll talk about that in 15 minutes right here on Nan Golic Jr. But another NFL training camp check. We stay in the NFC North, and we head our way to this team.
The Chicago Bears.
And I'm at Jeff Dickerson. Does a great job as an ESPN Chicago Bears reporter. Great follow on Twitter at Dickerson ESPN. He joins us on Nan Golic Jr. Thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. I mean, the big question is, Jeff, will Justin Fields be the week one starter? What is your answer?
Freddie, my friend, the answer is no. Unless Andy Dalton gets hurt, which I guess is entirely possible because the Bears at one point at practice last week had 9 healthy offensive linemen. That's it, 9. They couldn't even run half their drills because they had so few guys that were healthy up front. Justin Fields is having a nice training camp. I've watched him out there every single day. Well, he is a big guy. He can make all the throws. That ball comes off his hand. It's coming out fast. But he's also a rookie quarterback that needs to learn certain things. There are some plays where the ball isn't coming out where it needs to come out. You know, he's still learning the intricacies of calling the plays inside the huddle, getting the plays, you know, from the helmet, not from the sideline like at Ohio State. So there's a lot that he still has to learn. They're very happy with Andy Dalton. If he stays healthy, he will be your week one starter, with the caveat that at some point it's going to be Justin Fields' team. The Bears just don't want to give him the reins before he's ready.
We've moved on now, Jeff, to joint practices. We are at that point in the NFL preseason here, so I imagine people are tailgating for that. That's a joke there for Freddie that we've been talking about all show long.
Oh, brother.
But what can we take away from the joint practice here between the Bears and the Dolphins? Did anything come out of that?
We were lucky to get it in, Amber, because there was a thunderstorm that came through. So we had to evacuate the fields, and we were out of there for like 45 to 50 minutes. They went back out there. There were no fights, which is a good thing. And Bears head coach Matt Nagy made it very clear. Guys, don't be fighting. Don't, you know, punch someone in the helmet and break your hand. It wastes valuable practice time. I thought it was a well-run workout. I thought, you know, both defenses, the Bears and Dolphins defenses, played better than both offenses. I thought, you know, Dalton and Justin Fields had their moments. Tua, the Bears defense is pretty good, and he even said after practice, I was in his press conference, that, you know, he would get back, set on his back foot to throw, and the Bears would already be in his face. So he didn't have a whole lot of success outside of some good 7-on-7 red zone throws that he made. But, I mean, it was, I thought, a very productive workout despite the weather stoppage. They'll have one more tomorrow, and then they have their first preseason game together on Saturday.
Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Chicago Bears reporter, joining Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson, and Nan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. You mentioned the offensive line concerns, but what kind of concern is with this organization about maybe Matt Nagy's last year as Bears head coach if things don't go well in 2021?
I mean, Freddie, if they totally bomb out, that's a possibility. I don't think they're looking for any reason to fire Matt Nagy. They want to make this work. They did not draft Justin Fields to give him a brand new system, brand new head coach, brand new coordinator in year number 2. They would love some continuity. And I know that Matt Nagy, you know, certainly has had some struggles offensively, but I can't tell both of you. You know, I've covered a lot of rough times here in Chicago, right? Mark Trestman, John Fox, both just terrible in terms of their overall tenure and how it went. You know, Matt Nagy has made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. It wasn't a really inspiring playoff berth last year. They really kind of backed in and lost to the Saints in the opening round. But, I mean, compared to the other two, Matt Nagy looks like Vince Lombardi. So, I mean, they really don't want to let him go. He does a lot of things very well as the head coach. But ultimately, he's going to be judged on this offense. That's why he was brought to Chicago. And the offense just hasn't been nowhere near good enough. So I think, you know, look, if they take nice strides on offense, they find a way to eventually get Fields in there, and they have a respectable season, I don't think there's any question Matt Nagy continues to be the head coach. They would have to absolutely, you know, have the you know, the train go off the tracks, which in Chicago can happen from time to time. If that happens, he's in trouble, but I really don't think that is their plan whatsoever.
Well, Jeff, this is 3 and out. I'm going to give you an extra down here, though, because I have a question for you, a bonus question. This is about a former Bear, but Mitchell Trubisky, he said that he was not surprised that his time in Chicago came to an end. And then he implied that it was really nice to be wanted in Buffalo. Did those comments make any buzz in Chicago?
Amber, of course they did. Bears fans were snorting fire when they heard those comments. I watched Mitch's press conference. I think it was clear that he was, you know, I mean, if he was taking a shot at the Bears, it was a very subtle shot. It was not really, you know, him ripping the team. I will say this as I'm watching the heart out here. Look, I covered Mitch his entire career in Chicago. He's just not good enough to get you where you want to go. He's not a bad player. He's a tremendous athlete. But when you face really good defenses, he folds. Not folds, but he just does not get the job done. So, again, people in Chicago can be mad, but I think really the best thing for both parties is to have the clean break that has happened. Let Mitch try to, you know, revitalize his career. You know, maybe somewhere down the road he could compete for a starting job. But in Chicago, I think the Bears fans should be focusing on Justin Fields and what he really can do for this franchise, because there is no comparison. Mitchell Trubisky, 2017, his first year, versus Justin Fields, 2021. Fields is just superior in every single category.
It was supposed to be 3-and-out, but we went for 4th-and-goal with Jeff Dickerson. We got across the goal line with Dickerson, ESPN Zone, as a Chicago Bears supporter for ESPN NFL Nation. Jeff, always appreciate you, brother. Take care and be well. Glad to talk to you again.
Great talking to both of you. Take care.
Outstanding stuff by Jeff Dickerson here on Chenan Golick Jr. She's Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. And it was interesting, Amber, what he said at the end about Mitchell Trubisky, who was drafted much higher. They moved up in the draft to get him, and they could not wait to move on from him with a guy, Justin Fields, that literally fell to them in that spot. Many people thought he was going to go a little bit higher in the draft. The Bears got a gem, and I firmly believe this. If it's even between him and Andy Dalton going into the first game of the season, after 3 preseason games, I'm saying the future is now. I move on. I don't even have Andy Dalton out there as starting quarterback. I got Justin Fields starting, and I'll let happen what is supposed to happen and deal with whatever the consequences are going to be.
Yeah, we always make this big deal about these guys. They don't get enough time anymore. We throw them into the fire right away. But I'm with you. If he's showing that promise, why not throw him into the fire a little bit more and hope that he is the future? They don't have a ton to lose in doing that. And then maybe they'll just strike exactly like you said and have lightning strike there. I think that they're in a remarkable position with Fields. And I can't believe that Jeff Dickerson just said he's better already in every category than he's every cat. Like, we already know that he's better in every category than Mitchell Trubisky. But man, that had to make Bears fans feel great.
I feel great for the Bears fans, even though it's the Green Bay Packers division. But hey, at least you got a hope for the future in your quarterback that a lot of people did not think was going to happen once the Mitchell Trubisky experiment ended. We're going to continue 3-and-out tomorrow. The Lions and the Packers stay center stage right here on Chenan and Golick Jr. She's Amber Wilson. Hit her on Twitter at AmberW790. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter at ColemanESPN. So Russell Westbrook is not trying to hear it when it comes to this question now that he's joined the Lakers. And neither is my friend Amber Wilson. That's next on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together we are Chenan and Golick Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Oh, we're going to get into Russell Westbrook being the Laker and being tired of that question that he had to deal with at the press conference. And Amber Wilson, she ain't happy with it either. We're going to do that in about 4 minutes. And speaking of unhappy in terms of the Lakers, a former Laker now known as Dennis Schroeder, there's betting on yourself, Amber, and then there's that. The Lakers had offered him a 4-year, $84 million deal before free agency even hit. And Dennis Schroeder said, nah, I think I can get more in the open market. Fast forward to yesterday, he got a deal, 1 year, less than $6 million, from the Boston Celtics. And to me, Amber, the most telling quote was what Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA Insider, put on Twitter, that Dennis Schroeder was in a state of shock that no offers were anywhere near the Los Angeles Lakers offer. Talk about not reading the room. Thy name is Dennis Schroeder.
I heard you guys talking about this last night on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and I know you don't feel bad for him in this situation at all. And most people don't, because we're talking about $80 million that you had the audacity to turn down. Now, in fairness to Schroeder, he had signed a $70 million contract before. Like, his perspective of $80 million and my perspective of $80 million are two very different things. If ESPN wants to offer me a tenth of that, I'm not turning anything down.
Sure.
But if you're in that situation like Dennis Schroeder, you would think that you have the representation around you that would be properly advising you. And I hate, Freddie, typically blaming the agents just because I come from the lawyer perspective where you never know what's actually happening behind the scenes.
Sure.
And it's the same thing when I'm an attorney. It's the same thing when you're an attorney. You don't actually know what the client's telling the attorney or what advice the attorney's giving the client, because often as a lawyer, you give advice to people that they don't take and you can't force them to make certain decisions. It's the same thing being a sports agent. And so for all we know, his agents were sitting here telling him, yo, you got to take that bag from the Lakers when it's offered to you. And it was his own decision to fumble that bag. But that's exactly what he did here. Mm-hmm. And short of this being his decision, if he got that advice from anybody, he needs to change who he's listening to for advice, because it was terrible advice. And it just seems like there was a lack of recognition here of where the market was. I don't know where he thought he was going to go when
exactly.
We consider where the top point guards were. We all kind of knew where they were going to land. And then where are you going after that? There's only so many teams that even would have the space to try to bring you in for something like an $85 million deal, which is apparently, I guess, what you're looking for if you turn down that Lakers deal. I find this whole situation really strange.
It's strange. And here's another reason, Amber, why it's strange, because let's say if a backup point guard position developed, and it was a place that he wanted to go, you're not getting $84 million, $21 million per year to be a backup point guard in the NBA. That's just bad business. If somebody even thinks that Dennis Schroeder is $21 million worth to not be a starting point guard. He has not even established himself that a guy that you look at and say, yeah, I want to give that guy $21 million to be the starting point guard of my basketball team. The Lakers, even before they made the Russell Westbrook trade, were willing to move that along and say, hey, Dennis, we want to give you that kind of money. 4 years, $21 million per, and he thought he could get a better deal on the open market on a team that has LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and so on and so forth. There's betting on yourself, and Amber, you're completely right, and you did a great job bringing that from a legal perspective. Whoever gave him that kind of advice or whatever advice he received, dude, you either got to fire the agents or fire yourself in these kind of negotiations, because apparently you had no idea how to read the room when it came to NBA free agency, especially at that position. The point guard position in the NBA.
Yeah, you either need to fire the agents or hire the agents if you're not listening to the agents, because something went wrong here. Somebody somewhere is gone off of bad, terrible, terrible advice, even if it's Dennis Schroeder himself. You know, the Lakers are a couple hundred million, even without Schroeder, after, you know, trading for Westbrook, signing Kendrick Nunn, all that. They're well into that luxury tax bill. Not every team is willing to do that. Is it possible that he didn't see this Westbrook deal coming, and so he thought that he could circle back with them?
I really don't
understand what the purpose, though, of turning down the original deal. Like, how much more were the Lakers going to give him in an unrestricted market? That seems really strange to me. It almost feels like, Freddie, that there was some team somewhere, whether it's the Knicks or I don't know, that like told his people that they were going to give him some deal. Like, hold out, you'll get a better deal. And then they changed their minds in the offseason. It's the only thing I can come up with, because this was such a miss. And this is where betting on yourself has gone wrong.
Right.
And now he's going to have to double down and do it again next season.
Amber, you know this as a lawyer. Get it in writing. You know
yes.
This as a lawyer.
Absolutely.
I'm not going
everything.
By anybody telling me anything unless you tell me it's in writing. No. From that
in
standpoint.
In writing, and we've signed it.
Exactly. Notarized, rubber stamp, whatever you got to do. But right now, Dennis Schroeder, a lot of regret and a state of shock. Meanwhile, the Lakers have moved on. We'll see if Dennis Schroeder can move on and bet on himself to be a lot better than this free agent offseason that did not go well for him. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 ESPN Plus. So I guess we can call Russell Westbrook the successor to Dennis Schroeder when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now he's a part of the team that he always grew up watching, always wanted to play for, and now he has that opportunity. He even talked about not having anything to prove, no matter what others outside of his circle are saying.
No, I don't. I've been blessed and thankful to be able to be in this league so long and lucky to be able to play and be healthy. When I got drafted in the NBA, that was me proving people wrong when I was able to go to college and get a degree. That was me proving people wrong. Not a degree. I wish I got a degree. But go to college, go to UCLA from inner city. That was me proving people wrong. Just making it out the hood was proving people wrong. I don't need to do that anymore. I've been able to bless the people around me, my family, been able to impact people all across the world with this platform that's been given to me, and I'm continue to do that. And obviously we want to win a championship, but our ultimate goal is to make sure we use what we have to impact others around you.
Freddie, that's grown people talk. That's what it sounds like to me. Like, Russell Westbrook is so mature at this point in his career, where he recognizes how much he's accomplished, the incredible career that he's already had at this point. I mean, he's still making history with triple-doubles this season, right? So he's still got it, even if he's not 2017 Russell Westbrook. And he still is in a position now to win a championship, but he doesn't necessarily need that championship to be happy. You know, he's made the money. He's solidified his legacy. He's going to be a Hall of Famer either way. He's had the MVPs. He's had all the All-Star appearances. And he recognizes something that I think only comes with that age and wisdom, where I don't necessarily need to play angry or live angry my whole life. I don't need to pretend that I have to prove everybody wrong when I've already proved everybody wrong at this point. Now I can just enjoy my life, and those things don't need to define me, because I'm living better than 99.99% of the world out here, no matter how many rings I win or how many rings I never win.
Stephen A. Smith on First Take said that he has to prioritize the championship, and you mentioned this, and I'm 100% with you. What do you think Russell Westbrook's been doing all this time? I don't think he was just going through the motions in Oklahoma City when Kevin Durant left him to go to Golden State Warriors. He wasn't going through the motions with the Houston Rockets. He wasn't going through the motions with the Washington Wizards. This guy's always been about being the best player he can be to make the team better. Yeah, he doesn't shoot well enough for some people's taste. I get that. I completely understand that. He's not a three-point shooter. But you give me a guy like Russell Westbrook on my basketball team, I'll take my chances. I don't have to worry about where he stands. I know what he's going to be about. So to say that he has to prioritize a championship, he's been doing that for the longest time. It hasn't worked out. Well, guess what? There have been plenty of other players in the history of the NBA that have prioritized winning a championship and fell short. Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, plenty of guys. So for anybody to put it out there that he has something to prove, apparently you have not been paying attention to Russell Westbrook all this time, because that guy didn't need to prove anything. If anything, people need to prove they can leave him alone and let him do his thing to Los Angeles Lakers, which I firmly believe he's going to do. And it could be the best thing in the late part of LeBron James' career to have a guy that's going to be vested in winning and not about any of that priority when it comes to a championship and winning it in the NBA.
If Russell Westbrook wins a championship this season with the Lakers, does it change your mind about him at all?
We'll see, but you know, somebody else will find something to complain about, because that's just what people do. As my dad told me a long time ago, some people are not happy unless they are not happy. And it seems that Russell Westbrook has a lot of the unhappiness being thrown at him from other people that don't know what the heck they are talking about. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman, and Chiney and Golic Jr. Download the Overhead podcast for curiously delightful conversations, overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. So which is a better watch? Is it Jordan Love playing preseason football or Cade Cunningham playing summer league basketball? We'll get to that next on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And welcome to the tailgate known as Janae and Golic Jr. Amber Wilson, Freddie coming in for Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Anytime a guest stop by to hang out with us, like Jeff Dickerson of ESPN NFL Nation, Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst, and Courtney Cronin from ESPN NFL Nation, they were here next, thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. Even though it's the end of the show, that does not mean the end of the energy. We always do our best to keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Now, when I saw this tweet, I said to myself, give that man a scholarship immediately. Who am I talking about? I'll be glad to tell you. J.R. Smith is enrolling at North Carolina A&T State University to pursue a degree in liberal studies. He's also waiting on the NCAA, Amber, to sort out his eligibility so he can play not basketball, not football, but golf for the North Carolina A&T Aggies.
I love this story.
Me too.
Mostly because when I think of J.R. Smith, forever I will think of shirtless J.R. Smith having a little too much fun at that Cleveland Championship Parade. So that's right. Like my image of J.R. And that's who I want playing golf as well. Like, I want that dude out there. I want him to have a cigar in his mouth. I want him to go full J.R. with the tats and all. He said that when NBA scouts came courting him when he was in high school, they told him, you can always go back to school one day. And right. Here we are. He's retired now. He said he was on a recent trip with Ray Allen in the Dominican, and Ray Allen was going on and on about challenging himself in his retirement and going back to school himself and pursuing some of those things academically now that he's retired, and that he inspired J.R. Smith to do this. I love, though, that he's going to do this as a college athlete potentially, mm-hmm. but in golf. Like, Freddie, can J.R. Smith even play golf? Does it even matter if he can play golf?
Nope.
Is everyone showing up to watch him play golf
yep.
at one of the nation's top HBCUs, mm-hmm. regardless of whether he can actually play the sport or not?
Put it this way. If I'm ESPNU, the first time he plays golf, if he's eligible, I'm putting that on TV. That'll be the most attended HBCU golf classic in the history of HBCU golf classics. I'm giving him a scholarship, and the first time he's on, I'm putting that somewhere, somehow, Amber, on TV, just to see exactly J.R. Smith, who never met a shot that he did not want to take in the NBA, will give plenty of shots on the golf course. That has to happen on TV. Period.
The only person this isn't good for is whatever kid was going to get a scholarship in J.R. Smith thinks. Yeah. If that's what ends up happening here. Hopefully J.R. Smith would donate a scholarship if it actually came to that, because I think he's all right paying for school himself.
Whatever.
But that's
clever.
Like the only person this is bad for, because otherwise this is good for everybody. This is great for the school. This is great for J.R. Smith. It's just fun all around, and it's great for us.
Yeah, make it happen. I don't care what we have to do. I don't care if we need a GoFundMe page. Just make that happen from that standpoint. J.R. Smith on a golf course, shirtless or not, I am in on that when it comes to J.R. Smith. Keeping that same energy, part of Chenan Golick Jr., Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. So everybody on Twitter was losing their mind with Cade Cunningham on one side for the Detroit Pistons and Jalen Green on the other side playing in a summer league game for the Houston Rockets. Both of these guys went at each other like it was Game 7 of the NBA Finals. When it was all said and done, score was optional, but both were able to show their wares. So, Amber, I'll ask you, which is more entertaining to you? Seeing that, what we saw last night from Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, or watching an NFL preseason game?
Yeah, everybody was going crazy about this, except for me, because I didn't see any of it. So I think I'd be a hypocrite if I said that the Summer League was more interesting to me than the NFL preseason. I mean, frankly, Freddie, I'm going to say something kind of sacrilegious for a sports host here, but okay. I don't really think any of it is like all that interesting. However, at least with the NFL, I feel a lot more familiarity with some of those guys. Sure. The thing is with the NBA, like, those dudes are in college for a cup of coffee at best, and you just don't necessarily have the same sense, even if they actually went to your school and played for your school. And of course, now a lot of them are opting not even to do that. With Summer League, you don't always know all of these players. Of course, you'll know these top picks, but that's about it. With the NFL, I feel like you have a lot more connection to a lot of the players, even those who might not even make the roster. A lot of them are names that you recognize from watching them in college ball. So if I'm choosing one of these two things, mm-hmm. I'm choosing NFL preseason.
Nothing against Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, and that was really cool having that kind of programming on, but I'm never going to choose Summer League basketball over an NFL preseason game. I'm just not doing it. Although Cade and Jalen put on the show last night, nah, I'm just not doing that. Hey, Amber, great stuff, my friend. We'll do it again soon, okay?
It was fun. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Spain and Fitz comes your way next on ESPN Radio. For Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman, this has been Chenan Golick Jr. on the mighty ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chenan and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.